Hello, my name is Rose, and this is my first podcast. I'm honestly not really sure how this is going to go because I cannot stand the sound of my voice, so it's kind of interesting that I chose this as my platform, but I'm a cradle Catholic, and I left the church for about 12 years, and I know that there are so many other people that did the same thing, and I just wanted a platform to talk about it. I did eventually come back. I have been a very, very devout practicing Catholic now for the last year, almost a year and a half, and it has completely changed my life. And now seeing everything with my current lens, I just have to come on here and talk about it because I know that other people have gone through something similar, and I think talking about it and reaching out to others that are also experiencing it is just so beneficial. With, but to my surprise, my video went kind of viral, and then I ended up getting a bunch of followers, and I was not expecting that, and I don't really use it today because it's just not really my thing anymore. But that following and just like being able to connect with other people that were going through the same thing made such a difference in my journey in sobriety. And it was through my journey in sobriety over the years that eventually brought me back to Christ in the Catholic Church. So it all kind of connects, and I want to be able to talk about it to other people that might have gone through the same thing. And I know a lot of people like to make jokes about people that get sober. They're like, as soon as somebody gets sober, the first thing they do is they become a massive gym rat, or they become extremely, extremely spiritual. And it never seems like there's anything in between for the people that are successful. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But maybe I'm fulfilling a stereotype of some sort, but regardless, I'm still going to talk about it. So anyway, yeah, I am a cradle Catholic. I was raised in a very devout Catholic family. I have 6 brothers and sisters and a brother in heaven, and I was also homeschooled. All of us were homeschooled. My mother is a saint because she homeschooled all 7 of us and didn't pull out all of her hair. And I think that's amazing because I have 1 child, and when I try to help her with homework, it's like horrible. So I don't do that anymore. We got her a tutor because I would like to preserve our relationship. I don't have the patience that my mother had. But anyway, my siblings and I were all homeschooled. And my parents chose to homeschool us so that we could have a firm foundation in our faith as Christians, as Catholics. And this was so great. I did have a very good foundation for a long time, and I really genuinely loved learning about my faith as a kid. I was very interested in it. I liked praying the rosary. I liked going to daily mass. I liked doing all the things. And then when I became a teenager, I really loved youth group. I loved playing in bands with youth group. I loved singing. It was almost like, I mean, it was everything to me for a really long time. But then when I was 16, you know, I got a little bit older and I got into more serious relationships, both in friendships and romantically. And it made me very distracted. I ended up prioritizing things that were not my relationship with God. And eventually I became very lazy in my faith. I stopped praying. And then by the time I was 17, I discovered that I really, really liked alcohol. And then praying was basically just, it never happened. I stopped completely at that point. And then I just got into it with a different crowd. And then by the time I was 18, I officially made the decision that I was no longer considering myself a Catholic, and I didn't even really consider myself to be a Christian, actually. So at that point, that's when I officially left. So I was gone from the church pretty much until about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And in between, in the 12 years, within that time frame, I would periodically have these moments of, I need to go to church, or sometimes even very occasionally, I would say, I kind of want to go to confession. Not so much because I believed that confession was a sacrament that actually did anything, but I just wanted some sound advice because even through not having a spiritual existence, I don't know, that's not how I want to word that. Even though I didn't have a relationship with God for a very long time, I still carried many of the same values that I was raised with. So I really appreciated going to a priest for advice, specifically about like marriage or parenting. So I would occasionally go and then not go again for years. And just like I would very randomly decide to go to Mass, and then I would just not ever go again for another year. You know, it was very wishy-washy. There wasn't really any backbone to it. It was just, yeah, it was very random and sporadic. But anyway, through that time, I really just didn't have anything to do with God. And I told people I was a Christian, but I didn't act like it, honestly. I mean, I was constantly getting drunk. I was just an emotional train wreck for a really long time. And my husband is so patient and loved me through all of it, but yeah, it was a mess for a while there. But about 5 years, 5 years ago, I got sober, and then that's when the change really started to happen. I started working with my sponsor in AA, and the first thing that she told me was, "You need to have a higher power. Who is it?" And I said, I mean, it's God, I guess. And she's like, "Okay, so does that mean that you believe that God is greater than you and that you can put your trust into him to help you?" And I thought, maybe? Honestly, I don't know. And I had to really think about that for a long time, because I thought, well, where was God when this happened at this point in time? And where was God when I went through that a few years ago? And thinking of all these things, like, he can't exist because I faced struggles in my life. Okay, so looking back on that now, interesting that I even thought that way, because at the times when supposedly he wasn't helping me in times of struggle, I also wasn't asking him for help. I also had no relationship with him. And that is what we call free will. That was me choosing to do it all on my own and not even ask for any help, and then decide to use that later as a reason to not trust God. How ridiculous is that? But anyway, so she started really getting me to think about who my higher power was. And then I moved, and then I got a new sponsor, and she did the same thing. And we went through that whole thing again, and she really, really made me think about it. I mean, she really is what got the ball rolling. And at that time, the decisions that I was making in my life were not that of someone with integrity or someone with a strong moral compass. And I really thought that I did have those two things at that time, but the decisions that I was making did not reflect that. And I worked very hard to justify my reasons, but at the end of the day, I was saying, yes, I believe in God and God is helping me through my life and is guiding my choices, but that was a lie. It was me. I was guiding my own choices, acting like God was, but at the end of the day, I wasn't actually giving anything up to him. I wasn't saying, please help me make the right choice. I'm putting all my trust in you and I'm going to wait for you to tell me what it is. I was just saying, I'm going to do what I want and I am hoping that you'll help me get through it. Thanks. So yeah, there was really no trust actually involved. There was no me giving up anything. It was all very selfish. So that's where it started with me coming back into having God in my life. It all started with a lot of selfishness. And then it was about maybe a year and a half later into my sobriety. I was right around 2 years sober. No, actually, I was probably more around 3 years sober. That's when I met my current sponsor, and she kind of really pushed me over the edge with my, I guess I was so ready to go back to church. I was so ready to go back to having a relationship with God, but I just needed that push, and my current sponsor is what finally gave me that push, and I'm so grateful to her for that. I'm grateful to all my sponsors that have helped me, but she's the one that really gave me that push. And I told her that, I remember sitting with her when we were getting coffee once, and I told her, I just want to have the kind of faith that people have where they wake up every day and they know exactly what they believe and they know exactly why they're here. and they don't ever question it, and they're just always happy because they have complete trust in God, and they know that they're taken care of, and that they're just happy. Those are the people I know that are happy, and I just wanted to be like that. And she asked me, well, when you think of those people, who are they? And I thought, well, it's people that go to church all the time, typically. And they're usually a lot more positive, too, because I was surrounded by so many negative people. But she basically was like, okay, well, then try going to church, see how it feels. And at the time, it seems like such a simple thing to do, right? Just go to church. But after you had the tumultuous relationship with spirituality and Catholicism that I had for over a decade, that was a big thing for me to do. But I decided to dip my toes in the shallow end, and I went to a non-denominational church, and I really liked it. I found the scripture that was read, and then the sermon was really, really good. I did get something from it, and I started going there for a little while, and I actually got my husband and my daughter to go too, and we all really liked it. And then at this point, my prayer life started developing a little bit more. I started putting God first, and then I actually started reading a little bit about the history of Christianity. And it was through doing my research and going through the history again, it eventually just brought me back to the Catholic Church. I mean, you can even Google search it, who started the Catholic Church, and it will tell you, Jesus Christ. So anyway, I decided to finally try out a Catholic church probably a year after I was going to a non-denominational church. And I went to the Catholic church by myself. At this point, my husband is not Catholic, and he was not interested in going, and my daughter didn't go either. So I went by myself, and I sat in the back pew, and I just watched everything. And obviously, I didn't receive communion, but I just remember sitting there, and then it just became extremely overwhelming and emotional right around the time of the consecration of the host. I can't really explain it, but something just came over me, and I was watching and still not really sure what I thought about it, but I just started bawling my eyes out, and it was bad. Like, people were looking at me. Nobody judged me, I don't think. Maybe they did, I don't know. I didn't really care, though. I was honestly just so invested in what was happening, I didn't even really care or notice, but it was a lot. I was crying, and after Mass, I just stayed there. I just stayed in the church and just stared at the altar, stared at the tabernacle for like maybe 45 minutes or so. Everybody had left, and I was just in there, just staring at it, just kind of thinking, and I don't know, just trying to really focus on the thing that I was feeling, because it was a very hard feeling to describe. I was definitely overwhelmed, but I also just felt so much peace. And at that point, I had developed severe anxiety just because of all the school that I've been in. I've been in school for the last 6 years, and just working and everything else going on in my very busy life. I had developed so much anxiety. But in that moment, I just felt so at peace for the first time in years, and I felt like I didn't belong anywhere else. It was also the first time that I felt safe in every way, and I don't mean that to say like I constantly feel like I'm in danger or anything, because I don't, but it was a safety that I just hadn't really experienced before, and just the peace mixed with the safety, but also being overwhelmed, it was a lot. So I just kept crying and just stayed there and just kept staring at the tabernacle. But when I got home, I told my husband about it, and he was very supportive. He said, if you think that this is what you need to continue growing spiritually, then this is what you should do, and I'll support you. And he really did support me so much. He started actually going to Mass with me, and he's not Catholic, but he started going to Mass with me, and we started bringing our daughter, and that was so special, because when we first got married and I was very wishy-washy, not really wanting anything to do with Catholicism, if we ever did go to Mass for like a holiday to go with family, he never wanted to go. I didn't really give him any reason to want to go, and he didn't really know what it was. So for him to start going consistently with me since my reconversion, that is a really, really big deal. And then he was also supportive of us bringing our daughter with us. And this became an every week routine thing. And we have not missed Mass since, because this has to become like the most important thing. We both knew that, and we wanted it to become the most important thing. And my husband was also kind of figuring out his spiritual relationship with God and just where he was. He was also on his own individual journey. And that's also something that makes it kind of interesting, is that he and I have both had very individual spiritual journeys. We have not shared anything in that together, and yet we're still extremely close. And I really think that's divine intervention. But actually, within the last 6 months or so, he, after going to Mass with me consistently for a very long time, he has decided that he's going to start OCIA and is open to becoming Catholic. So that is a really amazing thing to witness, watching, just seeing his growth in his spiritual journey and him watching me and mine. It has been an amazing thing to be able to see your favorite person, you know, your spouse, your absolute favorite person in the world, go through that much change and growth. And it's just a very beautiful thing to witness. But anyway, the point of this podcast, I guess, is that there's so much to talk about within the Catholic Church. If you want to talk about the history of it, if you want to talk about the saints, if you want to just talk about scripture, I mean, whatever you choose, there are so many topics and subtopics to address. And a lot of it I thought I really understood for a very long time. And that's what made me arrogant as a young Catholic. But now looking back, I have realized either I've forgotten everything or I never really knew what I thought I knew. And now I'm relearning everything. And through relearning it all, I just want to be able to talk about it openly. And I want to be able to share my thoughts on things that maybe I used to really disagree with that now I'm completely behind, and things that maybe still kind of confuse me, but I want more insight and answers on, and I'm willing to be open to what those answers are. So I just want to use this platform for those reasons. I actually started listening to this one podcast called, I think it was like Catholic Saint of the Day or something, but it's been really, really cool listening to that, because I can relate to so many of the saints that lived really awful lives before they converted to Christianity. It's maybe not the most flattering thing to say, but it's true. So I really enjoy that. I love talking about the saints, and I just really want to continue learning and dive more into this and just become stronger as a Catholic. So I'm hoping that this platform will help me to do that. So yeah, if you stuck it out and you listened to all of this, then thank you. I appreciate it. And I will go ahead and start just talking a little bit more to myself and posting a few more of these and see how it goes. All right, well, I guess I will see you next time. Bye.